Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Please follow along as I read. The Apostle Paul writes, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." Verse 5, "Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would teach us through this message that you have for us today, concerning about prayer, concerning about evangelism and sharing our faith. I know for many of us that can be a scary thing to do, but help us to know that if we are to live our life for you, if we are truly saved by you, we should have this inner desire to really go out and tell the world, tell all of our friends and family about you and how you have saved us, and how through believing in your Son, Jesus Christ, we can be able to find salvation. Lord, instill this desire in each of our hearts today as we look through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So believe it or not, this is actually the last message in this sermon series through the book of Colossians. So this is sermon number 11. We had started back in the beginning of February, so it's been a while. And again, like the name of this sermon series is The Preeminence of Christ. Again, preeminence means that Christ is first. Christ is number one in our lives. He is first in the sense that he is supreme above all creation. He is first in the sense that he is pre-existent before all things. By him and through him, all things were created. And then also, he is first in the sense that he is first in priority in our life. Is Christ number one in your life? And do you submit to his preeminence? And do you submit to his lordship? Remember, in this part of Colossians, in the second half, this is the practical portions of it. We talked about how our daily Christian living should be like in applying the biblical truth that Jesus Christ is number one in our life. We talked about how to go about the basics of daily Christian living. Then we talked about how to remove those sinful practices in our lives and replace them with godly practices which glorify God. Then we also talked about how do we submit to the lordship of Christ, and also in particular, as we discussed last week, in our relationships such as the husband and wife relationship, parents and children relationship, and also the master and bondservant relationships, which we had applied to teachers and bosses. So these types of relationships, we can be able to submit to the lordship of Christ and show that he is preeminent. Now, that was last week. For this week, as we conclude this sermon series, we're going to be focusing on how our relationship with non-believers, okay? So now we're talking about people who are outside of the church, how our relationship with the non-believers can also affirm and show that Christ is number one and how he is preeminent. Now think about it. If we truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ and we know that Jesus Christ has saved us, you know, because he has died on the cross for our sins, something that's so great in our life, wouldn't we want to go out and tell other people about it? You know, we're supposed to be submitting to the lordship of Christ and his preeminence as living as a Christian. And part of that is the desire for all people in the world to do the same, so that everyone can also submit to the lordship of Christ and his preeminence. But in order for them to make that step, they first have to believe in Jesus. So this entails that we are called to go out and share our faith. So the question is, how do we share our faith effectively? How do we share our faith for the ultimate goal that everyone will submit to the lordship and preeminence of Christ? So this is what we had. This is what we will be focusing on as we had read in this passage, Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. And this is the main question that we'll be answering today. What are the steps to effectively share the gospel? What are the steps to effectively share the gospel? And we'll see three steps to do that. Here's the first step. The first step is for us to establish a steadfast prayer relationship with God. The first step is to establish a steadfast prayer relationship with God. Read from verse 2 in chapter 4. Paul says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." So here the Apostle Paul is telling the Colossians that they should continue praying. He knows that they are already praying and they already believe in Jesus, but he commands them to continue to do so. And not just to continue to do so, but here's the word that's used here. Continue steadfastly. Now, what does the word steadfastly mean? So it means that we're not only to pray with strong focus on Jesus Christ, okay? But also steadfastly means that we are praying consistently. We're praying constantly. So imagine this. It's like you're driving down the road and all of a sudden there's this giant boulder that is just right in the middle of the road and you can't seem to drive around it. You can't seem to pass on. So you try to get out of the car and try pushing the boulder, but the boulder is too heavy. It's too strong. In a sense, it is being steadfast. It is standing its ground. It's being consistent where it is. That's how it should be like when we are considering our prayer life. Our prayer life should be steadfast, meaning consistent, but also standing firm and focusing on Jesus Christ. Or another picture, if you play Pokemon, it's like a Snorlax that's in the middle of the road and it's blocking your way from getting to the Pokégym. You can think about it that way too. So again, in order to effectively evangelize and share the gospel with others, we first need to have a strong relationship with God through not only reading scripture, but also in our prayer life. If we don't have a strong relationship with God, then how are we expected to really have the desire to go out and proclaim the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others? So that's why the first step to effectively share the gospel to others is to establish a steadfast prayer relationship with him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, God commands us to pray without ceasing, pray without stopping. Praying steadfastly is a kind of being faithful to God. Praying steadfastly shows that we are in constant fellowship with him throughout our day. No matter where we go, no matter what we do or what we say, we should be steadfast in our prayers. It should be to the point where prayer almost seems as normal as breathing. You know, like we can't go about our lives without breathing. You know, we need oxygen to be able to survive, to be able to live. And at the same time, you're not thinking, oh, right now, I have to take a deep breath and I have to let it out. Your mind is automatically doing that already. So if your steadfast prayers becomes as automatic and as normal as your breathing, then you're already in a good place. Prayer is where you are also helping your spiritual life thrive and helping your spiritual life grow. So it should come to the point that we can't even survive without a steadfast prayer life. Look at the second half of verse 2 here. Actually, we'll read from the beginning of that. Continue steadfastly in prayer. And what does it say? Being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So as we are being steadfast in our prayer, we should be watchful. So it's picture a giant watchtower in a giant city. So there's a giant wall that's around the city. And the person who's in the watchtower, what is he supposed to do? He's supposed to be on the lookout, in constant lookout, just in case the enemies are coming. If the enemies are coming, then he can be able to warn everyone else in the city, hey, enemies are coming, we should be prepared, we should equip ourselves for battle. We also need to be watchful in our prayers because there are spiritual attacks from Satan. If you have a strong relationship with God, if you're doing God's will, then you know that Satan will try to do all he can to try to pull you away from your relationship with God. We need to be watchful. We also be not watchful in the sense that Jesus Christ one day will be coming back. So we should be awaiting for his second coming back to us. And don't we long for that day? Don't we long for and have that hope to be with Christ again? So we'll be watchful as we have steadfast prayer, but it also says with thanksgiving. Remember in the previous weeks when we were talking about what does it mean to submit to the Lordship of Christ, you know, all the main points that we had talked about was coupled with this term of thanksgiving. And we had concluded that thanksgiving is related to submitting to the Lordship of Christ. You know, if we are constantly thanking God for giving us life, thanking God for giving us all that we have, thanking God for even saving us, we are submitting to the Lordship of Christ and his preeminence. So in our steadfast prayers, meaning focusing on God and being consistent in prayer, we should always be watchful and we should also be thankful to God. So prayer, the whole point is that prayer is important in submitting to the Lordship of Christ, and it is the first step to be able to effectively share the gospel with other people. So the first step, again, is to establish a steadfast prayer relationship with God. Do you have this steadfast relationship with him? If not, then I can give you some practical ways and practical examples of how you can start to do that. Well, first of all, in order to have a consistent relationship with God in prayer, you should have a consistent time that's set aside in spending time in God's word. Right before you read God's word every day, you should pray and ask God to teach you. And after you're done reading scripture, you should pray and thank God for what he has done and what he has taught you through the scriptures. You should pray to God even throughout the rest of your day. As you go to school, as you come back home from school, as you go do your extracurricular activities, as you go to work, constantly say prayers to God. And these prayers don't have to be long. They can just be one sentence long prayers. You can just be simply, okay, thank you, God, for this day that you have made. Or thank you, God, for helping me through that test. Thank you, God, for this and that. Or so, like, whenever you have any troubles, whenever you have anything that is bothering your heart, your natural response is to just turn to God in prayer. We should get to that point where it becomes so natural to us. Talk to God as if he was just like your friend. You know, many times when I ask you, like, how's your prayer life? We would say, I don't really pray that much. Like, I only pray maybe in church because we're supposed to. Or maybe I only pray when I need something from God. No, that isn't a right attitude to have of prayer. Prayer should be this consistent conversation and discussion with God. And again, it is important and it's the first step in order to effectively share the gospel. So in our steadfast prayer, what should we be praying for in particular concerning effective evangelism? The Apostle Paul continues on and he gives us some prayer requests, okay? Continue to read on through verse 3 with me. Verse 3. Pray for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. So the Apostle Paul gives two prayer requests. The first prayer request is that God will open doors for the gospel to be preached. And the second prayer request is for the gospel to be preached clearly. So this is the second step for effective evangelism. The second step is to pray for God to open doors of opportunities for you to preach the gospel clearly. I'll say it again. Pray for God to open doors of opportunities for you to preach the gospel clearly. So as many of you know, a couple of months ago, I recently bought a house, and I'm still trying to get used to the whole house ownership thing. So back in November, I made a very bad mistake. I was in the rush, like, trying to get somewhere. So I left my house into the garage, locked the door, and I realized that I left my keys inside of the house. So I can't get back into my house. And my car keys are also with my house keys, so I can't get into my car. And inside my car is the remote to open the garage door. So I was thinking, oh no, I'm kind of stuck in my garage. And this is in the middle of the night, and I didn't know if I can be able to call anyone to help me. At least I had my phone with me. And I guess I didn't know that there, at least back then, that there was like some buttons on the side of the wall to be able to manually press to open the garage door. But I didn't know about that. So what did I have to do? I had to pray to God. I was like, God, help me throughout this situation. I am literally trapped and stuck in my own home in the garage. If I have to stay here in the middle of the night, it's going to be very cold. And whatever meeting I had afterwards, I guess I pretty much lost hope into getting there on time or even at all. So eventually God did provide a way. So I took a credit card out of my wallet and just ran it through the side of the door, and I was able to get the latch open and be able to get back into my house. So basically, I just told you guys how to break into my home. But hopefully, I'm going to change the locks, maybe get a deadbolt or something. One day, you will have to know my address. Yeah, some of you guys already know where I live. But anyways, the fact is this. Just as I prayed to God and asked for him to literally provide me with an open door, with an opportunity to escape, when we are praying to God for open doors, we're praying to God for opportunities to share the gospel with other people. In other words, share the good news of Jesus Christ with someone. So let me give you some examples of some open doors that we see right now. As you know, like, during this weekend, we have an evangelical meeting here at our church. You know, we have a speaker that's, at least for the Chinese congregation. Again, we didn't have one for the English side because our meeting was sort of treated as the retreat that we had a couple of weeks ago. So with this evangelical meeting that's happening at church, there's a speaker here. There's many people who are coming to our church for the first time. They never heard the gospel before. There's so many open doors, so many opportunities for you to talk with these newcomers, to share with them about Jesus Christ if they haven't already heard from the speaker that's there. This is what it means to pray to God for these opportunities, for these open doors. Did you also know that this coming fall, I've noticed that there's a lot of Chinese international high school students that are coming to the Albany area. Niskayuna High School is having a partnership with a school in China, and there's a bunch of Chinese international students that are coming. So next week, actually, I have a meeting with the superintendent of Niskayuna Schools to talk about what can our church do to be able to provide for the needs of these high school Chinese students that are coming. How can we connect them with our church? And again, this is an opportunity. If they do come to our church and our congregation, it's an opportunity to share with them God's love and to preach the gospel to them. Also, as you looked, there's flyers around the church, and I sent out an email that we are looking for host families for some Chinese students that will be going to the Albany Academies. So another group of Chinese students are coming here. And if we host these Chinese students, it's another open door, another chance to share the gospel. And I also know that at McKeel Christian Academy in Schenectady, it's a Christian school, they already have a group of like 15 to 20 students from China that are already there. That's another open door. Like, and looking at us, I don't see that they have, like, really there's a good ministry for them to fit in here due because of the age difference maybe from the Chinese congregation, but also maybe the language and culture difference if they were with us. So that's why there needs to be a new ministry to start out. So I mean, actually for next week's message during the joint service, I'm going to be repeating the same things again, but to the rest of the church. But I just want you to be aware that there are open doors everywhere. In our steadfast prayers to God, we should be praying for God to provide us with these opportunities, to provide us with these open doors. There are people in your life, like as you go to school, like you talk with your friends, like pray to God that he will open doors to have these spiritual conversations or to share the gospel. Or if you don't even want to maybe make the step to share the gospel yet, maybe even simply having the open doors to invite them to church can be a first step for that too. So, but how come sometimes we know that God provides us with these open doors, how come sometimes we don't notice them at all? So here's a particular truth that you think about. If we are really praying to God to provide us with these open doors and opportunities, then it means that we are on the lookout for them. You know, we are more sensitive to these doors. Oftentimes, God actually provides us with many open doors, but we don't notice them because we aren't looking for them, and we aren't praying for them. And imagine, there are probably many open doors, many opportunities that we had just missed because we aren't thinking about sharing the gospel with people. So, I mean, when we pray to God, like, we ask God for open doors for opportunities for our own personal gain, right? You know, this may be familiar. We ask God, I want this opportunity to join the junior varsity team in this sports. Or maybe, God, I want this opportunity to get into this college and study in this field. Or, God, I want this opportunity to get this job. No, we pray God for open doors for these opportunities for our own personal gain. And again, there's nothing wrong with praying about these things. But if we have the desire to pray for our own personal gain, then how much more should we also have the desire to pray for open doors at these opportunities to share the gospel with other people? Because again, when someone comes to the saving faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ and accept him as their savior, that change in their life will be permanent. That change in their life will be forever. That is something that's more valuable than your own personal gains. Shouldn't we, in our steadfast prayers, pray to God for these open doors? Again, in verse 4, the Apostle Paul says for the second prayer request, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. So the Apostle Paul is also praying that when he preaches the gospel, that is also presented clearly and with understanding. So let's say that you do have this open door and you do share the gospel with someone. Don't you want to be able to communicate it effectively and to communicate it clearly? If you want to be able to communicate God's word clearly and to communicate the gospel clearly, you yourself need to understand the gospel. So let me quickly review that with you. First, when you present the gospel, start with the problem. The Bible presents us with the problem is that everyone in this world is sinful, and we have to be separated from God because God is sinless. God is perfect. And how can a being who is perfect and sinless be with us, a being who is sinful? So you start by presenting them with the problem. Start with letting the people know that they have this need inside of them. And then you present them the solution. And of course, as you know, that solution is that because God loves us, that's why he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. And for those of us who accept him as our Savior and put our faith in Jesus, we can be able to see as righteous. We can be able to go to heaven and be with God for all of eternity. So the problem and the solution. This is like a summary or a clear way to present the gospel. Familiarize yourself with this. Repeat it to you over and over again. And you'll see the same themes pop up as you read scripture as well. To the point so that you can be ready. Because if you do have a close relationship with God in your steadfast prayers, if you are praying for open doors and you see an open door, and if you do present the gospel, then you will be ready to present it clearly. So far, again, we're answering the question, what are the steps to effectively share the gospel? Again, the first step is to establish a steadfast prayer relationship with God. And the second step is to pray for God to open doors of opportunities for you to preach the gospel clearly. There is one more step that I believe is necessary to present the gospel clearly. Let's continue on in verse 5 of chapter 4. The Apostle Paul says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you know how you ought to answer each person. So this is the third step. We are to live out an appropriate response to the gospel to lead others to the gospel. Number 3, we are to live out an appropriate response to the gospel to lead others to the gospel. So here in verse 5, the Apostle Paul commands the Colossians to what? To walk in wisdom. He says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. And again, as you may have heard in previous sermons that I mentioned before, walk means to live, or it refers to the type of lifestyle that we have. To live in wisdom means to live in a way that we are careful not to say anything or do anything that would make it difficult for us to share the gospel or for the gospel to be effectively received. Remember, in a couple sermons ago, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, this verse says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So everything that we do and everything that we say, so this literally encompasses literally everything that we can do, should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. We should live our lives in a way where we are appropriately responding to the gospel. You know, we've accepted Jesus as our Savior. We know that he has saved us. And because he has saved us, we are called to live righteously and to live for him. No, that's why in the previous sections of this book, we had talked about, you know, how to remove sinful practices in our life and replace them with godly practices. We talked about the practicals of how to submit to the Lordship of Christ. Everything that we talked about earlier in the past couple of weeks relates to this part about walking in wisdom, about living wisely in a way that will be able to glorify God. Verse 5, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. If you're reading NIV, it says, making the most of every opportunity. So I know that, just from talking with some of you guys, you say, oh, I have bad time management skills, and I'm not really making the most of my time or like the most of the opportunities that I have. And usually, when we say that, we're referring to, oh, I'm just being lazy, just maybe on the internet a lot of times, looking at weird videos, rather than what you're focusing on, doing your homework or rather than studying, okay? So that's why, because your goal, you know that you should study and you should do your homework. That's why when you don't do it, you say, oh, I'm not making the best use of my time. But here, it's, in this passage, it says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. How many of you would say, oh, I'm not making the best use of my time because I know I am not living in a way that glorifies God? I'm not living in a way that would show outsiders like that Jesus Christ is real and alive in me. I mean, how many of you would say that? Well, probably not a lot of you, but really that should be something that is on our mindset. If we worry so much about our homework and our studying, then we should be even more worried about how we live towards outsiders and how we reflect the gospel. The best use of our time is based on the mindset of what we value. Actually, remember what the Apostle Paul and Timothy, what they prayed for the Colossians? If you jump back to chapter 1, verse 9 to 10, it says this, "And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Okay, focus on this part. "So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So already, from the beginning of the letter, the Apostle Paul and Timothy are already praying for the Colossians, and they desire for them to be consistent in their prayer, but also that they will live their life in a way that glorifies God, live in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, that is pleasing to him. Read verse 6. "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." In particular to how you should live, the scripture talks about how we should talk. And it says that we should be gracious. Our language should be seasoned with salt. And think about it. In relation to the whole thing about effectively sharing the gospel with other people, you know, our speech, our words, is the vehicle by which the gospel message is delivered. Our speech should be gracious in the sense that when we share the gospel with other people, it is an act of grace. You know, grace is receiving something that we do not deserve. And none of us deserve for a second chance of salvation. But by sharing the gospel with other people, we're providing them with the second chance to hear the gospel so that they can accept them as their Savior. We should also let our speech be seasoned with salt So just to put it simply, it means that we are to use the right words to share the gospel. It should be seasoned and salted in a way that we should talk in a way that our listeners are basically thirsty to learn. You know how, I guess the whole thing about salt, eating salty food can make us very thirsty. So with our speech seasoned with salt, outsiders should be thirsty to learn more about the good news of Jesus Christ. So this is why the way that we live and act towards outsiders is so important. So let's review what we've learned from this passage today. Again, we're concluding this sermon series through the book of Colossians concerning the preeminence of Christ. And part of living out and submitting to the preeminence of Christ and the lordship of Christ is to have the desire to go out and share the gospel effectively to other people. So we answered the question, what are the steps to effectively share the gospel? Step number one, we are to establish a steadfast praying relationship with God. Step two, we are to pray to God for open doors of opportunities to preach the gospel clearly. And finally, the third step is to live out an appropriate response to the gospel to be able to lead others to the gospel. So you can see how evangelism is so important to submitting to the lordship of Christ. So the rest of this chapter in chapter 4, we won't be covering it in this sermon series. And it's not that we can't learn anything from it, but it's just that the concluding remarks of this letter is Paul's personal message to the people that are here in Colossae. So if you have a chance, I encourage you to read the rest of the chapter yourself, but we won't be covering the rest of the chapter for this sermon series. And it is my prayer that all of you will continue to submit to the lordship of Christ and his preeminence and live our lives in a way that that will glorify him as we go out and share the gospel with others. Again, preeminence means that Christ is first or number one in our life. He is first in the sense that he's supreme above creation, all creation. He's first in the sense that he is pre-existence before all things. By him and through him, all things were created. And he is first in the sense that he is number one in priority in our life. Is Christ number one, and is Christ first in your life? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us throughout these past couple of months as we looked through and studied through the book of Colossians. Lord, I pray that as we have reached the end of this sermon series, that we will continue to have this mindset that you are first in our life, that you are number one in so many different aspects, so many different ways. And may our life really and truly reflect that. And one of the ultimate goals is the desire for everyone in the world to submit to you and your lordship and your preeminence. Lord, you are using us and using us as we live our lives as a testimony, as we clearly share the gospel with other people to bring them to you. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us when a lot of times we just think about ourselves and our own types of gains and our own pride and our own sinfulness. Lord, help us to turn our attention back towards you, Lord, because you are a loving God. You are a gracious God. You are above all things. How can we not want to worship you and to commit our life to you? And I pray that as we continue to worship you, it will be reflected in the way that we sing and as we respond to this message. Father, we love you and we lift up all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.